Good morning and welcome to the Steel Apple Fantasy Football Podcast. Steel apples, when brass balls just won't do. Welcome back, pussies. We are in week four of the NFL season and podcast number seven. Thanks for sticking around with us. Today we're going to talk about a few things. I'm feeling a little Iron Maiden today, though. A little number of the beast, 666. We'll get into that in a little while, but I'm just going to tell you, Arizona, pick six last week. Dallas, pick six. Even the Jacksonville Jaguars with a kick six. So we'll talk about those defenses and kickers a little later on. But first, I got to introduce my boy back with a vengeance, Big D. But before he chimes in, I have to tell our listeners what I'm dealing with on a daily basis. So I wake up this morning. Let me get the text out because I don't want to misquote you. Okay.
What time I said it?
Here's the text at 7:12 a.m. Hi, guys. Sorry it's so early on the text thread, but I just needed to reach out and remind everyone that I'm undefeated. Have a great day, losers. That's what I wake up to. Then a few hours later, I text him, hey, D, what do you want to talk about tonight on the podcast? His response, I don't talk to inferior teams. I get it. You're 3-0, and you're leading the league in points. I'm 2-1, and I'm second in points, and I'm only 40 points behind your ass. All right. And just to bring it back down to earth, okay, Mr. Bigger Than a Van Wilder, here's what you told me to write down. You said, Cortland Sutton, he'll have a 50-yard-plus touchdown. Write that down. He caught five balls for 37 yards. All right. So Tara Reid put a little laxative in your fucking milkshake there because you shit the bed on that one. What say you, D?
Yeah, that was, you know what, it's nice to be on top, let me tell you.
absolutely.
Whatever you want. And everyone's like, hey, oh yeah, well, remember that time? I've been hearing that a lot lately.
I got to bring it back down to earth a little bit.
I absolutely have. And speaking of that, my guys, honestly, have been playing out kicking their coverage. Like, you know, when you married your wife, like you outkick your coverage because she's smoking hot and you're smoking not.
Thanks for that. Yeah. That's about what you do. I disagree with you, though, D. I think your guys.
Watch your tongue in the house.
I know she's sleeping. I'm good. But I disagree with you. I think your guys are playing pretty where they should be. So to let our listeners know, Christian McCaffrey, you have him. He is out. Okay. Hamstring, could be 2 weeks, could be 10 weeks. Okay. But I think with Mahomes and then your receiving core of DJ Moore, Tyler Lockett, and Cooper Kupp, I think you can weather the storm here. And you have DeAndre Swift, who is in the top 10 now. He's top three in rushing in some leagues. If Darrell Henderson does anything for you, I think you're good. What do you think?
I agree. And like I said, my guys, in my opinion, have been out kicking the coverage a little bit. Let's talk about Cooper Kupp right away.
Okay.
I don't think he can maintain that pace. But with that said,
he's averaging over 30 points a week. That's a ton. That's a shit ton.
That is
in any fantasy league, any format.
Three games, five touchdowns. Okay. But this is what I look at. When I look at receivers and everything else, I look at targets. I look at how many looks is he getting? He's doubled it. 13, 12. He's getting so many looks. It's crazy.
You don't take him out of your lineup right now. I mean, he's your number one receiver.
You don't.
And I think a lot of guys, you know, I think he's been a diamond in the rough for a lot of teams. I mean, I liked Cooper Kupp. I don't think I had any money left to bid on him. You got him for $7, which is $7. A freaking bargain right now. Jesus Christ. Okay. But we were talking about this off the air. You know, I just beg to differ on this one. I just don't think in a serpentine draft you could have gotten Mahomes, McCaffrey, Lockett, Moore, and Kupp. I think those three receivers were really close to each other in the rankings, and I don't think they would have, especially with if you had the number one pick overall, I just don't think they would have gotten back to you. What do you think? Because you've seen some different things.
I don't think they would have all gotten back to me, all of them, like you're saying. In a lot of the leagues that I saw in some of the drafts, I'm like, Tyler Lockett, with the emergence of DK Metcalf, okay, Lockett slipped. And I don't know why, because that guy, he is the deep ball threat for Russell Wilson. He's going to score those touchdowns. But everybody was so high on Metcalf, Lockett slid a little bit.
And Lockett was the number 8 receiver overall last year.
I didn't understand it either. But everybody was so high on Metcalf that Lockett became the number 2 guy, regardless of what he did the year before. But they were misinterpreting what his rapport is with Russell Wilson, and that sure. Russell Wilson has a phenomenal rapport with Tyler Lockett.
And Kupp, you know, you told me earlier he slid a lot too. I don't know if that's because Woods is the potential number 1, or because there was some uncertainty about Stafford coming to L.A. Obviously, the experts were wrong.
again, the experts were completely off and completely wrong. I'm going to bring up another guy on top of this, who a number 1 receiver for their team, getting over 10 plus targets a week, Brandon Cooks from Houston.
Honestly, I thought that guy was done. I thought he was old and, you know, washed up, and he's got freaking Davis Mills throwing it to him and Tyrod Taylor. This guy is solid as can be.
It doesn't seem to matter, does it? No. It just doesn't seem to matter. You know, back in the day, they said Elway threw too hard. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? They caught all these commercials.
Yeah, McCaffrey and Rod Smith caught him.
Montana was too small. He was going to get hurt. It didn't seem to matter. You know what I mean? Peyton Manning couldn't throw the long ball. There was talk about drafting Ryan Leaf. Can you imagine that now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't seem to matter.
And I guarantee you, Brandon Cooks and another guy we'll talk about, Jamar Chase, were not thrown out during an auction. You could have gotten those guys either off the waiver wire or around, you know, 15 and 16.
Absolutely. All the huss and fuss was about the Alabama wide receivers and everything else. And Jamar Chase opted out his senior year. So, I mean, there wasn't any fuss about him. But that guy, that guy's a player, and he will be a player.
Can you say huss and fuss? Because that's an expression I've never heard.
Huss and fuss. I said whoops and daisies the other day, too.
You're 95 years old? Were you sitting in a cardigan at your house, too? Jesus Christ.
Edit that.
Yeah, so Brandon Cooks, Jamar Chase, those are guys you could have gotten very late, if not off the waiver wire, and they're probably carrying you. But I want to get back to McCaffrey for a second.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about auction versus serpentine. You did a bunch of serpentine drafts online. In a serpentine draft, you almost get bullied into taking McCaffrey number 1 overall. In an auction, you have an out, right? You say, yeah, I love McCaffrey, but he was too expensive. You know, if you don't take McCaffrey number 1 overall in a serpentine, you're going to catch hell from your boys. If he blows up, they're going to be in your fucking face. I mean, I would have maybe taken Derrick Henry number 1 overall if I had the number 1 pick. Luckily, it didn't come down to that. But would you agree that in a serpentine, you almost get bullied into your first couple of picks?
You hit the nail right on the head. Does anybody say that anymore? I don't know. How can you not take him at the number 1 with the serpentine? Because if you take Dalvin Cook, okay, everyone's going to just mock you. They're going to mock you. You got to take McCaffrey because, number 1, he probably does have the most potential to score the most points out of anybody else in the league.
But I will say now 2 years in a row he's hurt.
You know, now I'm the victim of that. I paid my top guy $50-some-odd, and I'm trying to beg a guy to trade me Chuba Hubbard. I said, yeah, Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, speaking of trades, let's get into that right now because it's, you know, week 4. Guys are getting antsy, getting itchy. They want to make some trades. You had a trade in your league. Tell me about that trade.
A guy actually offered me this morning I had Matthew Stafford, and a guy offered me Antonio Gibson and Ryan Tannehill. I couldn't jump in it fast enough.
The only reason you could jump into it was because who was your starter? Who's your starting quarterback?
My starter was Josh Allen. And I had taken Stafford in round 13 of the 17 draft. That was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, and you know, there was some flack in your league, I guess, because of where guys were picked in your draft and blah, blah, blah. But that has nothing to do with it. I don't care if Matthew Stafford was 13 overall. Antonio Gibson was a second-round pick.
It doesn't matter.
Stafford was 13. It doesn't matter. It's what can you do for me now? What have you done for me lately, Janet Jackson?
It doesn't matter. And that, you know, and shame on them for not having the prognostication or the aptitude to be able to look and say, hey, you know, Matthew Stafford and the Rams right now are fucking for real. I'm telling you. That is a team.
That's what's great about the draft. Because you have Josh Allen, you can afford to give up Stafford. Now you get Antonio Gibson. You know, his rushes, his rush yards, his average is still pretty good per carry. He's just not getting the touches he was getting. But, you know, you need a running back apparently in that league. And I do. He needed a quarterback, and it works out. And
well, I have McCaffrey's out.
Yeah,
I have exactly. McCaffrey. I have McCaffrey in that league.
So you got to do something.
I have David Montgomery in that league. I was trying to pick up Patterson.
Cordarrelle Patterson. Yeah, who's coming on, man, and had another solid week. I think he's becoming a pretty solid flex option, especially in deeper leagues.
I love the fact that he's listed as a running back.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. You
know? And there's leagues that have return yards. I've thought about it since Rockin' Ishmael was in the league, you know?
Yeah, Devin Hester.
Devin Hester.
60 points a week just returning kicks.
Right, can we list Hester? Well, Hester was listed as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Dion was listed as a wide receiver at one point.
But let's get back to the running backs for a second, because you brought up a good point. You know, Christian McCaffrey's out. You need another running back. Again, for like the third, fourth year in a row, the running back pool is so thin, right? In your top 15 running backs this week, you had Nyheim Hines, James Conner, Peyton Barber, Alexander Mattison, Giovanni Bernard. I mean, these are guys that usually won't see the light of day. You know what I mean? I mean, do we need to consider changing the format of the lineup? Go with one running back and three wide receivers, or an extra flex guy? I mean, because the running back is I don't know. It's not obsolete, but it just the wide receivers are so much better and so much more productive. What do you think, D?
It depends on what kind of league you want. I'm in a league where there's one league that has they play two quarterbacks. They don't have a kicker or defense. They play an extra flex, and it's fun because it's all scoring. But also, I like the fact, and I've always liked the fact that maybe I'm a little old school. Am I thinking the fact that what you said earlier in the broadcast? You know, how many defenses scored, Scott?
Six defenses scored last week.
Here's the difference. I dropped Washington's defense. Italy, I'm just particular this one thing, and I picked up New Orleans. New Orleans scored 24 points for me in that particular league, and Washington scored -4 points. That's right. A 28-point swing in overall points to that league for my guys, and I won by a lot. That makes a difference in the game. A lot of times they score 6-7 points, but everybody's kind of scoring that. So when you have that big week from the defense, you kind of earn the win then, and you know what I mean? When your defense steps up in the NFL, it kind of mirrors that a little bit.
I agree. I don't think I'd ever drop the defense and kicker from the format. Would I consider one running back and three wide receivers? Absolutely. The way the running back pool is thinned, the way the game has gotten away from the rush, you're just struggling to fill that second position, especially when injuries hurt. You know, a quick note on Giovanni Bernard, though. If you're looking for a pickup, a waiver wire pickup, if he wasn't drafted, it's obvious to me Tom Brady needs a pass catching back. You know, Dion Lewis, James White. You know, Leonard Fournette's not a pass catcher. You know, when he was in Jacksonville, he used to call him boards because that's what his fucking hands were like. So Giovanni Bernard, I think you can get some value out of. But, you know, Peyton Barber, Alexander Mattison, those guys are going right back to the bench when Jacobs and Cook are healthy. So something to think about for next year. Plenty of time to think about how you want to structure your lineups, owners, for next year. But defenses, let's move on to that, because it was a big, big week. It's where I got my idea for a little made in there, 666, defenses scoring all over the place. Just a couple numbers for you. 10 defenses scored in double digits. 5 of those scored in the teens, okay? Same thing with the kickers. 10 kickers scored in double digits. 6 of those guys scored in the teens. I was looking at some scores. I had, in a couple of leagues, I was looking at the games. Couple guys had 30, 35 points between their kicker, their defense. I mean, that was the difference between winning and losing. Okay. You know, it really was.
Justin Tucker, congratulations. 66 yards.
John Harbaugh gets the steel apple call of the week, man. He had some balls to send him out there at 66 yards. You know what I mean? Hits the crossbar, no less, and goes through. But what I want to ask you, D, there's this strategy out there of streaming defenses, meaning you pick up a new defense every week. And in this rookie heavy quarterback league, do you like that strategy?
I don't normally like that strategy. If you're gonna do it though, absolutely, this is the year. Quarterbacks, rookies so far this year, 1-10.
Jesus,
hold on, let me repeat that. 1-10.
Just look at last week. Trevor Lawrence threw a pick six. Justin Fields got sacked 9 times. Zach Wilson got shut out. So owners out there, defenses can make a difference. You picked up the Bengals against the
Right.
Jaguars on Thursday night, there might be points for you. You know, if the Titans defense is out there against the Jets, go for it. Even the Lions. I might pick up the Lions defense just because of Justin Fields.
Justin Fields had 6 completions and 9 sacks.
Right. And the Cleveland scored a touchdown. The defense scored a touchdown as well.
Right,
and they're blaming Matt Nagy, and they're blaming the offensive line. But at some point, you know, the buck stops at the quarterback. And he's gonna have to take responsibility for that. Now let's have a little fun here, D, because I know what'd you tell me earlier about defenses? Tell our audience what you told me about defenses.
I can't remember.
Oh well, they're like hookers and Jaguar tickets. You don't pay for them
ever,
because you don't need to.
Because I don't need to. Yeah, and I sound a little cocky, but I don't. I never have paid for defense. We've got people in the past that have paid for defense. Our very first year ever. I'm just gonna throw this out there. We did a Serpentine draft that year. A guy drafted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense in the 2nd round. And actually, it was one of the big Bucs years. Derek Brooks, the whole 9 yards, Warren Sapp, way back when. But it turned out not to be that bad. We had a guy actually paying when we went to auction. Zeke, go ahead.
One of our owners paid $5, and he didn't even throw them out there for a buck and bid them up. He threw them out there for $5. I'll tell you what the defense was. It was 1999. And the Seahawks in 1990, this is not Legion of Boom defense. This is the Seahawks of the late 90s. The 98 Seahawks had fucking 41 turnovers. They had 10 touchdowns, 54 sacks. You know, they had Brian Blades and Cortez Kennedy and Michael Sinclair. And who's our boy that we talked about like he was the second coming of Dion?
We used to talk about this guy when he was coming out of college. And I know exactly who you're talking about. His name was Sean Springs, Ohio State. Sean Springs was a bust.
But on that particular defense, he played pretty well. So the following year, our buddy pays $5 for the Seahawks defense because of the year they had. I mean, they scored almost 200 points. That's a lot, especially in our league where we don't count yardage. That's 200 points in turnovers and sacks.
That's crazy. We were barely counting the shit. Everything was one point.
Right, exactly. So would in hindsight, would you have paid for that defense?
No, I don't pay for defenses.
Would you have paid for the 85 Bears?
No, I don't pay for defenses.
2000 Ravens?
We go all day long. I don't pay for defenses or hookers. End of story.
The Steel Curtain. Let me tug at the heartstrings a little bit.
You can't even tug at the heartstrings here. No.
Okay. So we don't pay for defenses here at the Steel Apple Fantasy Football Podcast, especially in the auction section. The reason being, you're going to take 10 defense, right? No one really takes a backup defense. The difference between the number one defense and the number 10 defense, point-wise, is minuscule. It's 2 points a week, 4 points a week. It's not going to make or break you. Why waste a 9th, 10th, 11th round pick on a defense when you can get them round 15 or 16, and certainly don't pay for them. You know what I mean?
And you know, the year after that Devin Hester had his huge year, somebody drafted the Bears defense really high. They were chasing last year's points.
Exactly.
Chasing last week's points on the waiver wire.
It rarely works. All right, let's look at some of the things from last week. We had our fluke streak pattern. Looks like Jalen Hurts and Derek Carr are on a pretty good pattern, wouldn't you say? Derek Carr is averaging 400 yards a game. He's at 1,200 yards right now.
That's got to come crashing down.
It's got to. So if it comes crashing down to 300 yards, who gives a shit? 300 yards is good.
He has been a gem. And you know, here's the thing. People probably didn't even play him the first 2 weeks.
No.
How many? He
was on the waiver wire. He wasn't drafted.
He was still only 65-70% rostered on ESPN. Are you kidding me?
And he looks like a vibe. Now let me ask you this. You know, he's the number 8 quarterback in fantasy overall. He's ahead of guys like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Do you pick him up and play him instead of those guys?
I don't pull Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers out of my lineup.
Well, I think you're full of shit. Because today you told me to start Stafford instead of Wilson. Because I have both of those guys.
That's not who we're comparing it to over Derek Carr.
Oh, so I should start Stafford over Wilson, but not if I would have had Carr, don't start him over Wilson.
Carr over Wilson.
Okay. Right now. But I should put in Stafford instead of Russell Wilson. I should pull Russell Wilson out. Okay.
I think you should definitely start with Stafford.
Should I write that down?
Write that down.
Okay.
Van Wilder.
All right.
I would start Derek Carr or Matthew Stafford over Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers right now. Both.
You would.
I would.
Okay. All right. So Carr has proven to you in a 3-week stretch.
No, he's just a hot fire guy right now.
How do you take Aaron Rodgers out for Derek Carr? I just don't trust that.
Aaron Rodgers this year. I don't think his heart's in it, man.
Really?
I don't. Okay. What did he do last week?
He had an average week. You know, they won. Okay. He had a good game. They beat the 49ers at the last minute. Yeah, Devontae Adams had 12 catches for 132 yards or some shit. So, okay. He had an all right game. All right, a couple more things. Last week I said Rondale Moore was a good flex player. He got 2 points. But I also said start Cardinals, and the Cardinals did well.
They didn't do what I thought they would do.
No, but A.J. Green scored in the high teens. Christian Kirk scored in the high teens. Edmonds, Connor, Kyler Murray had 24 points. The defense scored.
Connor's an afterthought. Good God.
But, dude, he had a good game. I said start Cardinals if you had them. All right, good.
Oh, God. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut.
Good. Your prediction, Alvin Kamara, outside the top 10. He's currently number 12. You're sitting pretty. And I said Cousins would finish better than Hurts. He is 1.4 points ahead of him right now.
You're hanging on by a pubic hair right now, buddy.
All right, last segment, probably the most important segment. I looked up some things this morning. There are some guys, some heavy hitters, outside the top 100. Outside the top 100 in scoring. All right, I've got Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson, Mark Andrews, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Who's in most jeopardy of being a bust for the year?
Clyde Helaire. He's not the fit for that offense.
Yeah, he's averaging less than 10 points a game.
I think Barkley makes his way back. Andrews, only a matter of time before he starts scoring a little bit. I think they're... Yeah. I got to tell you,
I'm worried about Jonathan Taylor. They don't have anything in Indy right now.
I know. He was taken way too high.
I mean, Paris Campbell's your best receiver. Jacob Eason.
When does T.Y. come back?
T.Y.'s kind of on the washed up side, though. He's been hurt the last 5 years he's been hurt. Yeah. You know? So I'm really worried about him. I think Barkley, you contend that they're bringing Barkley along slowly.
Absolutely.
Do you play him anyway?
I play him.
Wait 3-4 weeks?
I play him.
Okay.
Because the week you don't play him, he is his bust out week.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
You're right.
And they were bringing him so long slowly. And his points aren't horrible. Okay. What did he get last week? 15 points?
Yeah. They're not horrible. He's only averaging 11 points, but I think part of that's week one.
Ezekiel Elliott, the same thing. He did horrible week one. Okay. Yeah. But if he got 15 points last week, that's a very decent, good week for most guys. The guys aren't going to score you 30 points every week. You know what I mean? You got to accept that.
But my contention is Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Andrew Gibson were all at the bottom of the top 10. They all went for in their 20s and $30 in our auction.
Absolutely.
10 points is not value. The 10 points a week is not worth either where they were drafted or what you paid for them.
I think Helaire and Taylor are the most being the biggest busts this year.
Yeah, I think so too. Antonio Gibson is averaging his yards per carry are pretty good. He's just not getting a lot of touches. You know, Taylor Heineke concerns me a little bit. McLaurin is up and down. I just think they need to give him the ball more.
I think they should too. He's had, what did he get, 13 carries? What did they do last year that when he did so well? He was averaging 20, 22 carries a game.
Right.
You know what I mean, what are you doing, Washington?
And that allowed McLaurin to break out because you had to worry about the run.
Right.
With Ed Gibson. It seems like they've gotten away from that.
I don't know why. Are they kind of being safe with Gibson? They don't want to burn him out like that.
Yeah.
Or are they just going in a different direction here? But what's your direction? You don't have the talent on the outsides
right.
to get that direction.
You don't.
Logan Thomas? Another guy, Robert Tonyan, Green Bay.
Terrible. Killing me. I have that fucker. He's killing me right now. He's the weak link of my team. You know, when I put a team together, I looked at the winners for the last 5 years in our auction league, and the winners average 152 points per game. That's what our winners average. So when I went into this year's auction, I said, all right, I'm going to find guys that can get me 20 points a game. Okay, because that's seven guys, that's 140. Then your defense and kicker, you know, give you 5 points each, blah, 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 whatever. So I'm Adam Thielen. I think he gets me 6 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. So does Keenan Allen.
Stole him right from under me. Another one, Keenan Allen. Love Keenan Allen.
Davante Adams going to get me Eckler and David Montgomery, I think they're going to get me 100 yards and a touchdown, plus a few catches here and there. But Robert Tonyan was the weak link, man. He's not doing what I need him to do.
No,
you know, he's not getting me to that 150 point plateau.
Not even close.
Speaking of 20 points a week, we got a couple guys, TB12 averaging 28 and Cooper Kupp averaging almost 31. Who, in your opinion, can keep up the pace? Who has a better chance of keeping up that number?
Between a quarterback and a wide receiver?
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady, because of the talent around him. But Cooper Kupp's been playing out of his mind. He's going to come down to earth right here. But with that said, I think he has developed an amazing rapport with Matthew Stafford. And the fact that he's averaging, 10 to 13 targets every single week, I'll take it. Even if he has that letdown week where he catches six balls for 72 yards, okay, it's still 13 points. I'll take it because, he's got five touchdowns in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously not going to keep up the pace. You know, Tom Brady has the benefit and Kupp is suffering from the same thing. Tom Brady has a lot of talent around him. Whatever talent he hits, he gets points for. Right. Matthew Stafford has a lot of talent around him and Kupp suffers from that because he's got Robert Woods and he's got DeSean Jackson. He's got Tyler Higbee, et cetera, et cetera. So I would agree with you there. Brady has, even though they're playing a first place schedule, I think Tom Brady has the potential to keep up the pace of 28 to 30 points.
Absolutely. Because and a couple of the fact that you hit on it earlier, you know, they don't have a running game in Tampa
at all.
You know what I mean? Like, and I thought when Fournette went there, I thought that was going to be his resurgence.
Right.
He's a step above Trent Richardson, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, he's – I thought he'd get 15 to 20 carries. You know, he's not going to carry the load like he did in Jacksonville. But, yeah, he's good. Is he going to become the Eddie Lacy of the league? You know, put
I'm
on some weight.
Just going to say Eddie Lacy.
I know, man. Same wavelength, man. All right, well, on Eddie Lacy note, that wraps it up for this week. Kind of a longer episode, man. A lot to talk about. We're sitting at 30 minutes here, but it goes by like 30 seconds, man. I look up. I'm like, holy shit, how do we get to a half an hour?
Is it really 30 minutes already?
Yeah, it's been 30 minutes. So thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, you can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. Please visit our website, steelapples.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @steelapple. 1275, and visit our Facebook page, Steel Apples. All right, D, take us home.
Steel Apples, what brass balls just won't do? Can you dig it?